going to be fantastic. We're going to pray and then I'm going to get into the Word and we're going to be finished just after 11:30 this morning. And I've been doing a series, it's called Overcoming. This year, I know I don't look it, but I'm celebrating 40 years as a Christian. My family came into church. My brother, my sister and myself were invited by our neighbours to come to church. I thank God for people that reached out and brought my family to the house of God. I will never be able to repay the debt of meeting Christ as a six-year-old child, and I'm eternally grateful for my neighbours for doing that. I want to say, church, that you can never underestimate the power of bringing someone to the house of God, because you could be a part of changing someone's life. If you can get over your issues, if you can get over your embarrassment, you could just impact someone's life. And I'm so grateful because I've had the privilege of having my brother and my sister in the house of God for, and my mum goes to a more traditional church who occasionally sing Hillsong, I'm told. But, you know, in the house of God, all of our lives, pretty much all of our lives. And to me, that's just been an amazing legacy. And so this morning I'm going to talk about, as watching and observing over 40 years of being a Christian and for 19 of those years of being a pastor, just some of the issues that we're all facing. And we'll face these whether we're younger or we're older, wherever we're at in life, on our Christian journey we'll face them. We'll actually face them even if we weren't a Christian, but I also believe that I'm going to give you some keys this morning on how to do it well. So we've been doing a series on overcoming, the big ones for me in my life, somewhere along the line over 40 years. So we've looked at overcoming low self-esteem. We've been looking at, we looked at overcoming fear. We looked at overcoming discouragement. And we looked at overcoming destructive thoughts. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just ask this morning that Jesus, it really is all about you. Everything is about you. You were there before the creation of the world. You will be there after the creation. Father, you are there before time existed, Lord. You have always been there. And Father God, your word says that you were there reconciling the world back to you. Your purpose in life is to have relationship with us. Your purpose in life is to see your children living their best life. And Father, you've given us everything that we need, God, to be able to do that. You gave that through the salvation of your Son, Jesus Christ. You gave that through your word, your living, breathing, organic word that feeds us and ministers to us every day. And you gave that to your church who you call the bride of Christ, the one that you're coming back to, the one that you laid your life down for and the one that you ultimately love. Father, you gave us everything and today we are so grateful. And God, as we explore your word this morning, it is my prayer that, Father, there will be people here, sitting here, that are going to be set free. That the truth of the word of God will set them free from patterns in their life that have been destructive, from pain of past relationships, God. And Lord, from fear of the future, I pray that there would come the healing power of Christ into people's lives today so that every person here can live their best life. We ask that, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, not wanting to embarrass them, but I'm going to. Sorry. AJ, can I pray for you? I've wanted to pray for you for about a week. May I? Thank you. Okay. Father God, I just want to pray. The statement that keeps coming back every time I think of you when you pop into my head is it's time to get out of the shadow. It's time to get out of the shadows. I know you're a middle child and I'm a middle child, so we've got lots of issues being middle children. We're not the eldest, we're not the youngest, we're the middle. But I've just got this sense it's time to get out of the shadows. And I have known you since you before you were born, but I just know you're a young man now. You're not the young AJ anymore. You became an adult. You became 18. But even more than that, I just feel that God is going to take you on a journey of maturity in your faith. I know you know God, I know you love God, I know you express God differently to your brother and your sister, but I believe that God is going to reveal to you, and that's my prayer today. My prayer is that God will draw out of you what's in you. the longings of your heart that you don't even quite know are there yet, the purpose that he has for your life that you're not quite sure about, your belief system, as you're at university, that will be challenged and tested. I pray that God is going to draw out of you and you're going to draw on revelation of who God is for you at this time. And I just see you, Alexander, as a leader, but a reluctant leader. Someone who's got bucket loads of capacity, but not quite sure. It's my prayer that God will lead you, that people won't stereotype you of who you should be and what you should be doing, but God will allow you to express yourself in the way that you need to fulfill the purposes he has for your life. Father, I just pray right now, Father, a fresh imparting of the Holy Spirit. I pray there'd come almost like a lifting off of the old, of the young Alexander into the man that you've called him to be. Father, I pray that the gifts that you have put in him, you will draw out of him. I pray that people will be wise with what they say, Father. God, that they would not put expectations upon him that he should never carry. But God, that he would just literally, my prayer as your pastor is that you would live your best life. Your best life. And Father, I pray that right now, I pray for a fresh anointing to be upon him in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, my love. Awesome. Great young man. Great young people in our church. I get so excited when I see them up here. Nigel and I are like, woohoo, we can go soon. Woohoo. Wasn't that what you had kids for? Just kidding. Okay, so we're going to be going to the Word of God because that's what's going to change our world. And we're going to be looking at scriptures in. We're going to be looking at, you've got homework, as you always do with me, Romans chapter 5, 6, 7 and 8, but we're not going to read those this morning. We're going to focus on Romans chapter 8. When I was a younger Christian, Romans freaked me out. It was way too deep and way too theological. Now I love the book, not because I'm deeper and more theological, but just because I love the book, because as you read it and read it and read it and read it over, you know, X number of years being a Christian, it speaks to us. And it's spoken to me a lot about God's love. So the book of Romans is very much about where the word sin, but God uses the word sin, or the writers of the Bible use the word sin. Sin really means wrongdoing, doing the wrong thing. People could often think, oh, sin's such a heavy word, but it really just means the things that we do wrong. So Romans chapter 5 looks at that, but it also looks at the relationship of Christ and the cross in that. And then Romans 8 will look at, it looks about very much about God's love in all of that. So we've got sin, Jesus' cross, God's love. And basically Romans 8 sums up 5, 6, 7 and 8, but it's talking about how God's love, nothing can separate it from us. Sin can't separate it. Nothing can. Ebola virus can't separate us from God's love. Syria, interest rates, divorce, kids, whatever. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But I want to look at rejection, overcoming rejection. Now, this latest topic, as well as the other topics I've looked at over the last year, are very much interrelated and interconnected. So you will have sort of, you know, fear can bring a result in rejection. It can also lead to discouragement, depression, and all of those things. We can have destructive thoughts as a result of rejection. But my purpose today is to bring it out, discuss it, so we can actually get healing from it. And rejection goes very much to the core of who you and I are, because it undermines our sense of self-worth. We feel devalued. It will cause us to become self-critical. What's wrong with me? Why have I been rejected? And at some point in our life, we will all experience rejection. And many of us, if not all of us, will at some point in our life also have rejected someone else. You would have been on the receiving end and you've also rejected. So rejection can take on many forms. Relationships. You know, we have parents that can reject their children, or children reject their parents. But parents rejecting children in some shape or form is a big one, because parents play such a huge role in developing our life. We can have rejection in marriage, can't we? We can have divorce, which is the ultimate rejection of someone. Someone saying, I don't love you anymore, I don't want to do life with you anymore, can be the ultimate rejection. Or within a marriage relationship, it can be even rejection with silent treatment. It can be, I'm not going to speak to you because you've not met up to the standard I expect, so I'm not going to speak to you for a day or so. That happens a lot. Or what about in relationships? He's dumped you or she's dumped you. Or we can get, this is a big one for our young people today. We get rejected because we're a Christian and we make a stand over those beliefs, which means we may not be able to go to that party. I don't know if I should say this, Jared. You'll have to forgive me later. You'll tell me off later over lunch. But I remember saying to Jared this one time, why don't you go to that party with such and such? Because I'm very much about we need to be out in our world. And he goes, well, Mum, the dad's bought the pot and it's pretty much about a one-nighter. We didn't say it like that. He is very interesting young person's language. It's pretty much about picking up a chick and this and that. That's what's going to happen at that party. I'm going, oh, okay. Well, maybe you better not go to that party. Whoa, what do? You know? But that's what's going to happen at some point. We have to make a stand, don't we? And it's not about sometimes being overtly Christian, wearing the badge, saying, I can't come to your party because I'm a Christian. But it's like, okay, does that mean I'll go to Leavers? Does that mean I will go to that party? And they're hard choices. University today, Jesus is not on the agenda. And if he is, it's not always positive. What about at work? Difficulties with relationships with people at work. And sometimes we can even feel like God's rejected us. I felt that. There's times in my Christian life I felt that God, I wasn't even on the radar. He had 6 billion other people to think about. What about events? We can be rejected by events, can't we? We can get sacked from work. We can feel a sense of rejection because we can't find work. Or we've been overlooked for a promotion. Or we don't get the grades that we'd hoped for, can't get into the uni that we wanted to get into. Tried out for a particular sporting team. I heard a story recently of someone that couldn't get into the particular football team that they wanted and literally they felt like it was the end of their life. Or internally, we face rejection because we're the wrong colour skin type. Low self-image, we've rejected ourselves. We see ourselves as not being good enough or flawed in our appearance or abilities. And look, the Bible's full of examples. The great thing about the Bible is that there's been plenty more people before us that have been rejected. We look at Joseph, despised by his brothers, sold into slavery. Moses, Israelites were constantly challenging his leadership and rejecting him. He had a speech impediment, these internal issues that he struggled with. David, he was rejected by his father and brothers. His father didn't even remember he existed. His king rejected him, went on the run 14 years. Apostle Paul was rejected by the Pharisees, the Sadducees who were plotting his death. And some of the churches that he'd spent his life planting rejected him. And Jesus ultimately rejected by the very people he came to save. And I always say, you know, if you ever think you're not popular, just think about Jesus at the cross. He really didn't have a big group of people at his funeral, did he? Most people had left. You know, I wrote in my journal this week, 2 Corinthians 6 verse 8, Paul's saying, we serve God whether people honour us or despise us, whether they slander us or they praise us. And I had to laugh. I thought, Paul was despised and slandered more than he was honoured or praised. I was thinking about, am I despised and slandered more than I'm honoured and praised? I think most of us would say that we get probably slandered more, don't we, than we get praised. But that's the reality. That's what Paul faced, and that's what a lot of us will face. What are the characteristics of a rejected person? You can do a bit of self-analysis here. Don't put your hands up. Okay. Now, my daughter was reading my notes this morning as I was preparing when I was just doing some final prep. And she was like, oh, my gosh. I go, it's all right, sweetheart. It's all right. Don't think if you have them all. This is not conclusive. This is something that we could go and see a psychologist about for a long time. But here are some overwhelming characteristics. have a critical nature of themselves and others. Impossible to give them a compliment. This is a person that you just can't give a compliment to. Constantly criticize themselves. Or they'll have the need to bring others down to their level as they feel threatened by others. And his long-term effect of that will be cynicism at the world. They have difficulty receiving and giving love, or love can be conditional. I will only love you if you do this so I don't get hurt. Have a controlling personality. Try to manage everyone to reduce that hurt. Or they struggle with relationships. They can be suspicious. Why do you want to be my friend? What do you really want? And they can push people away. They can suffer from anxiety, worried how they'll be perceived or if they will be hurt. There are anger issues. By the way, I would say I had most of all of these, if you've ever had rejection. Anger issues. Get very angry. Sometimes don't know why you're angry. Can have an attitude of superiority, arrogance, covering inferiority. You've all met people that are incredibly arrogant. Nige was in a cafe just over on the weekend having breakfast. He said the guy at the table next to him, or actually wasn't next to him, was a few tables away, was talking so loudly about what he'd achieved. Basically, he had a $3.5 million property and he was doing this, this and this that the whole of the cafe knew. I said, Nige, I think he's got some insecurity issues. Nige goes, I don't know, but I know exactly what he does, how much he earns and where he lives. So we can though, can't we? That sense of if I've got to be someone, I've got to drop someone's name or I've got to do something because we're worried. We can be easily hurt. We can be oversensitive. Get offended by everything. We're easily offendable. Or we can have an over-attention to appearance or the accumulation of possessions. We feel that if we're dressed a certain way, people will think that we're a certain person. If we're, you know, that accumulation of stuff, if I have more, I'll feel better. Or there's the perfectionist, which also can lead to procrastination. I have to do everything perfectly so someone will love me or I won't be rejected, which often leads to procrastination because people don't want to do anything because they don't want to get it wrong. And also there can be depression. Some of these symptoms can lead to depression as a result of it. So why is it so debilitating? Well, it robs us of the life that God has for us. And Jesus said, I've come to give you life, an abundant life. And you know, we always say as you walk through our doors here that your best life. And rejection can steal that. And we have to fight it back. You know, at uni, I do a behavioral science course. And it's a cross between sociology and psychology. And I think a lot about this in the sense of, there's a great photo that someone, I should have got it for you, put up on Facebook a while ago. And it's this beautiful photo of this mum. And she's got, it's India. And the mum's in a sari and she's sitting on the ground and she's got this little girl. And she looks like she's about 3 or 4 because they start education really early in India. And she's got this cute little pleated skirt on. She's got a little white shirt on. She's got a little tie. And the mum's sort of fixing the tie of this girl. And it's just this, you know, one of those warm kind of fuzzy kind of things. But then what the photographer has done is the photographer has done the shot where you're seeing the side image of the mum and the daughter. And as you look at the photo, you see that the mum is in a cardboard box with her daughter. That's their home. And so you see the power, the story, the power of the photograph is the fact that it doesn't matter where you live in this world as a parent or a grandparent, you just want the best for your kid. And so here she is in this cardboard box, this mum getting her little girl ready to go to school, because we all know that if the kids can get educated, then the mum's believing that this kid's going to have a better life. They're not going to have to live in a cardboard box. And so I think a lot about that. And so, you know, I've been blessed with some of my great closest friends are multi-millionaires. And, you know, I listen to them. They're not all in the church. Some of them are, some of them aren't. And I think about this mum and I think about me, where I am in the pecking order of life, that sort of middle class kind of thing. And I think to myself, it doesn't matter as a parent. It doesn't matter whether your getting your kid ready in some kind of cardboard box, or you're a multi-millionaire with a kid, or me in the middle, you just want your kid to have its best life. You just want your kid to be happy. And there's not a parent on the planet that doesn't want their kid to have a great life. And you know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately, thinking, isn't that what God wants? Doesn't he want his kids to have a great life? And so you and I, what can happen is that if we feel rejected by people or rejected by events or rejected by even ourselves internally, we're robbing ourselves of our best life. And so here's Father God. He wants to give us pretty much everything. Not possessions necessarily. Not all parents think that's the best thing for their kids. I know I don't. But he wants to give us our best life. He gave Jesus on the cross. He gave us this beautiful world that we live in. But sometimes we're not accepting it because of what's going on in here. We've been wounded. And so my prayer is that we will get through it because it's rewarding us. It's robbing us. It's robbing us of rewarding relationships. And the reality, life is about relationships, whether you like it or not. And depending on the level of rejection, it can cause us to get stuck. A few years ago, I went through a series. I didn't even realize it at the time because I had to go and see a counselor about it because I just didn't know what was going on in my world. And a few years ago, I went through about four consecutive, for me, they were quite traumatic events. But I didn't realize that at the time. I've got a very strong personality, as Dom said. So I just got up and went, oh, I just got to keep going. Then something else happened. I just got to get up and keep going. We all know that. We've all been faced with stuff like that. But about four situations happened and I didn't realize it. And in some form or another, it was a type of rejection. But what I didn't realize was what resulted in that was I actually got stuck. Because they came quite quickly, the events. I never allowed myself time to just sort of process them, get myself through that, get on to the next one. And look, I'm preaching to the converted here. There are people that have been through civil war and have had to leave their country, or people have been displaced or had to move country, or people that have chosen to move country because they've wanted to come to Australia for a variety of reasons, or we've got a whole myriad of things. And I remember I got stuck. I didn't know I'd gotten stuck until someone said to me, you've gotten stuck. Every day I was going. And so what that can do is rejection can literally paralyze you because you don't want to go forward because you don't know what forward looks like. But you're doing the motions. And so that's why rejection can be so debilitating. And so over a period of time, I had to recognize that I'd gotten stuck and literally had to start relearning behavior again of how to keep moving forward. But I want to say today, there may be one or two of you here that have gotten stuck. You haven't wanted to keep going forward because you've been hurt. You've been hurt by divorce. You've been hurt by trauma. You've suffered incredible trauma. I've heard quite a few of the stories of people in our church. Or you've gotten stuck because I know people in our church that he wanted to come to Australia, she necessarily didn't want to come, or she wanted to come and he didn't, and you've left behind family and friends, started again, or really hurt by someone in a relationship. You suffered a challenge mentally. You've lost your job. You've got issues that you were, you know, challenges that you were born with that you just were already. Playing field wasn't the same for you as it was to everyone else. And sometimes we get stuck. So the book of Romans is one of Paul's greatest letters. And I love the chapters 5 to 8, as I said. So Romans identifies three elements of a healthy self-image. And we're going to go to that in the last few minutes. Come with me to Romans 8, verses 29 to 39. So it identifies three elements of a healthy self-image. And you can do this yourself. I'll just give you the outline this morning. Number one is we belong. Number two is we have value. And number three, we are loved. So firstly, we belong. Romans 8:29 says, God knew his people in advance And he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would have many brothers and sisters. I find that a phenomenal scripture, that I can be called the sister of Jesus. I find that phenomenal. God would actually say, you have the same standing as my son. When I think of Jesus, I think, my gosh, compared to myself. But that's how Jesus views us. See, we belong to God's family. Romans 8:16 says, for his Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children. You don't feel like you're God's children? Well, the answer is to get the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. The Bible says that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can do that on a daily basis as we relate to God. Secondly, we have value. Even in your worst state, God saw your value. You know, Romans 5:8, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. You know, that tells me that we had value even when we didn't know God. You see, God saw your value even before you knew him. And we are loved, verses 35. And I've said this before, if you've been in our church for a while, you would know that these are probably some of my life scriptures. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? Anyone got any trouble in their world? Or hardship? Anyone got any hardship in their world? Or persecution? Who's getting persecuted at work for being a Christian? Because you won't do the wrong thing. Or famine? You've got financial lack in your world. Nakedness, danger, or sword. Now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, I find that interesting, Paul says that, neither death nor life. I think that Paul was saying death because many of us even question that, don't we? If I die, will I be good enough for God? If I die, will God accept me into heaven? I sometimes wonder, did the Apostle Paul even question that? Nor life. I love that. Life. We're doing life and we think that that can separate us from God. Angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Pretty much there is not a thing that can separate us from God's love. But my observation again is that we have to get a revelation of that. Now, while these scriptures apply to us, they also apply to other people, which means that we need to be very careful not to reject others. So sometimes we can feel that we're the one that's had the hurt done, but also we can actually reject others. Those people you may not like, they belong to God, they're valued by God and are loved by God. I listened to an interview with the Archbishop of Canterbury just a few days ago. Fantastic interview. I'm excited about the Church of England. I'm excited. We have a Spirit-filled Archbishop, believes in the power of Christ, believes in healing at the head of the Church of England. I'm just so excited. He was talking, Nikki Gumbel, actually, if you know Alpha, was actually interviewing him. And the Archbishop said that he was discussing how often Christians can be the cruelest, can say the nastiest. We couch that in that thing called love. So we can reject, can't we? And we have to be very careful about that. How do we do that? We can be clicky. But let me just conclude with saying that sometimes that when we've suffered rejection, we can believe that we're the problem. But quite often it can actually be someone else's issue and someone else's baggage. And we need to, that's an area of maturity that we can all grow in. We need to grow in the reality that sometimes other people are projecting their stuff onto us. And we need the wisdom and guidance of the Holy Spirit to ask him that question, say, God, is this my issue or is this someone else's issue? But But you know what? Rejection doesn't have to stop us. The basketballer Michael Jordan said this. He said, I have missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I have lost almost 300 games. On 26 occasions, I had to shoot the winning point and lost, missed it. I have failed over and over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed. The Beatles were rejected by a record company executive who said, we don't like your sound, Eunice Bremmer. We don't like your sound. And guitar music, by the way, is on the way out. Don't you wish? The artist Monet, has anyone been to see his works? Got the privilege of seeing that a few years ago. I sat in the cafe and drank coffee. It was like, not one more painting. Please, honey. The French are clever. They put cafes in their art galleries for all the men. They just want to eat their way through the menu. Monet, he was mocked and rejected by the Parisian Salon, the artistic elite. But they, yeah. Oprah Winfrey, do you know she was fired? She was unfit for TV, the TV producer told her. They say she's the most influential woman in the world. Theodore Seuss, 27 publishers rejected his Dr. Seuss books. He went on to become the greatest selling children's author of all time. And so on. Winston Churchill, Mr. What's his name? I've forgotten his name. The one that created, do you know the man that created Sony? Actually started with a rice cooker. Did anyone know that? Where's Lee from Korea? Did anyone know that? He actually created a rice cooker and it burnt rice. Maybe that was a godsend because then he went on to create Sony. And so on and so on. So don't let rejection define you. I can tell you that you belong, you're valued, you're loved in God's eyes, but you've got to believe it. So there's your homework for today is, what you going to do? Number one, ask yourself this question this week. Is there anything that crops up once in a while in a particular situation or event that is the result of rejection? For example, do I become oversensitive with people? Do I get angry quickly? Am I cynical? Do I withdraw? Number two, this is a bold move, church. Ask someone close to you that cares for you that question. Do I react in a certain way that is damaging to myself or others? That is such a hard conversation to have. Pastor Nigel is awesome with that, with me. He has no trouble on that one with me, him and I. He'll go, well, actually, sweetheart. Who hates that word, actually? And then thirdly, I want you to ask God to reveal to you if there's a particular area that needs healing. Then you've got to act. Once you've got the information, this is what you need to do. Act. I want you to forgive those that have caused the rejection. Holy Spirit, right now, I'm asking him to just start bringing into your mind those people that have you feel rejected by, ex-husband, ex-wife, parent, employer, uni lecturer, put fail on one of my assignments once in red pen. What is that about, uni lecturers? Why red pen? Okay, so forgive those that have caused a rejection. And then ask God to forgive you for those you've rejected. Come on, all you handsome young men over there. Pastor Nigel rejected all those beautiful young women. He was a young man. You've unfriended on Facebook. I didn't know you could do that. Do you know, since we've been doing this whole Ebola thing, we are going to finish, I promise you. We've been doing this whole Ebola thing. I'm a late bloomer with social networking. Okay. I've told you this before, Sarah's friends are probably my biggest followers on Instagram because they feel sorry for me. So I'm a late bloomer, but I'm so passionate about the cause of we've got to do something, I've got to do something personally, that I've got all these new friends on Facebook. I cannot believe how much time I understand why you have no time, because it takes so much time to Facebook. And now I've got all these new friends, now my Facebook page is full. It's ridiculous. Anyway, moving right along. Ask the Holy Spirit to heal you of the rejection. Don't let it define you. Get God's attitude about you into your life. This is the crux of my message today. It boils down to a choice. Who do I want to trust? My damaged emotions or God? That you belong to God, you are valued by God, and you are loved by God. What is the reality today? The choice that I want you to walk out of the door today is saying, what am I going to choose? Am I going to choose that I'm an idiot? That I have a deformity in some way or flaw in my character in some way? Or that I will never be amount to anything or be anybody of influence or consequence because I failed at past ventures in the past? What is it that you want to trust today? Your emotions or what God says about you? You know, I just love this church. I think you are the best people in Perth. You know, I have people coming into our church that have, you know, at any one time we can have a Muslim in our church, Hindu, had a Jehovah's Witness a while back, we've got a Buddhist, people that have come out of prison, people that could be going into prison, people that have lost their jobs, people that are just killing it in the business world. And I love the church because this is where you're accepted. We don't care what you drive, where you live, what you've done, what your belief system is at this point of time. God loves you. But you have got to accept what he's done for you. And finally, keep allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you. This will give you the life you need. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God, my favorite scriptures, such a good book, Romans 8. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as he raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your body by the same Spirit living within you. So when you feel the waves of rejection coming over you, go, that Christ is living in me. Same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is at work within me. Same power that raised Christ from the dead is at work within me. I can get through this situation. I can stop being stuck. I can live my best life. Let's pray, church. Father God, right now, and look, we're over time. I want to pray with people that need healing this morning. If you are stuck, you've hurt, disappointed, all of that, I want to pray with you today. Father God, I pray right now. Spirit of God, come and bring healing. Come and bring healing. Healing. People are going to go away this week, Father, and they're going to have time with you. They're going to ask you if you need to heal them. Father, you know for me it was an oversensitivity. Oversensitive to everything. Father, you've just really done such a great work in that area. Father, there's other people here that are angry or cynical or anxious about life. Whatever it may be, Father. Afraid. Timid. God, I just pray today. The power of Christ is going to bring healing. But God, you're also going to reveal to them this week what they need to do. They need to go and apologize to someone else, if they need to just ask your forgiveness, if they can't meet that person face to face where they know they've rejected someone, they know that they've damaged someone by the cruelness of their words. Father, I pray today. Let us be defined by what you see. You see a room full of incredible people. You want us to have our best life. I just pray that right now. You know, God doesn't reject you. Just going to ask one more minute. Keep your eyes closed for me. He will never reject you. That is the certainty. But I said before that there comes a choice that we need to make. We need to choose what God says and believe it. It's harder, my observation, and you know, I get the privilege of talking to lots of people all the time. And it's my observation that if you don't know Christ, then it takes a lot longer and it's a lot harder. And I know some people who've never gotten over it. They've never gotten over a divorce, never gotten over failure at work, businesses. Talking to someone even last night at something. This is a guy that Nigel and I have known for 30 years, and he said to us after 30 years, he said, "Nigel, it's about purpose." And he doesn't have it. Why waste 30 years looking for it? Why don't you today get connected with God? Let him fix up what needs to be fixed and then get on with living your best life. To do that, you need to come into a relationship with Christ. The Bible says that. It's really not difficult. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up, and then we're going to pray a prayer after. That's just the beginning of the journey.